It's 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for April 3rd, 2019. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number 5 today, Bibi and Vlad. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meeting with Vladimir Putin, Russia's president, just 5 days before general elections in Israel. Why? Because Iran has reportedly moved its Republican Guard headquarters from Damascus, or headquarters in Syria, that is, from Damascus, which is only about 40 miles from the Israeli border, to Aleppo in the north of the country, which, not coincidentally, is close to a Russian airbase. Apparently, Iran hoping that moving its Iranian or its Republican Guard headquarters farther away from Israel and close to Russia's S-300 and S-400 surface-to-air missiles will make Israel think twice before launching airstrikes against Iranian military positions in Syria. Wrong. On March 27th, Israel struck again, reportedly causing heavy damage and high casualties, but striking against Iran close to a Russian airbase means Israel and Russia need to work out some new rules of coordination so when a new war doesn't start up accidentally. Speaking of the election next week, by the way, Moshe Feiglin, who's the head of a new party called Zehut, which means identity in English, it's conservative, libertarian, and Feiglin very much opposed to a two-state solution, giving up land to the Palestinians for peace, which, of course, would not come, told a conference recently hosted by the Jerusalem Post that he supports building the third temple, and not in 2 years, but right now. We truly are living in prophetically significant times. Topic number 4, the wide Missouri. The Army Corps of Engineers holding a series of meetings next week at communities along the Missouri River to discuss the recent flooding, the result of that bomb cyclone in the middle of March, and the state of the dams along the river. This is an important topic. As I told you yesterday, we'll keep an eye on this throughout the spring. The tour starts next Tuesday, that's April 9th, in Fort Peck, Montana. Now, that's the dam that I talked about yesterday, the earthen dam, almost 4 miles long, holding back the fifth largest man-made lake in America. And remember, record snowpack in the Rocky Mountains on the backside of that dam. Well, second stop next Tuesday comes at Bismarck, North Dakota. That's near the Garrison Dam. On Wednesday, April 10th, two stops, the morning at Fort Pierce, South Dakota, in the afternoon at Sioux City, Iowa, and then next Thursday, April 11th, the first stop of the day at Smithville, Missouri, and in the afternoon at Nebraska City, Nebraska. The Corps of Engineers manages the 6 main stem dams on the Missouri River, Fort Peck, Garrison, and then 4 in South Dakota, Owyhee, Big Bend, Fort Randall, and Gavin's Point. The floods downstream of the dams in March has been severe. The Stevens Point Dam, I'm sorry, the Spencer Dam, near the Gavin Point Dam, just upstream, it's on one of the tributaries of the Missouri. The Spencer Dam collapsed during the flooding, was hit with ice and debris, and it collapsed, which forced the Corps to open up the floodgates, the spillways on the Gavin's Point Dam. And as a result, and that was to save the Gavin's Point Dam, by the way, from a catastrophic failure, because of that, water downstream washed out 50 levees. Towns across Nebraska, South Dakota, Iowa, northwest Missouri were flooded out. People returning from the flooding, finding buildings, bridges, roads washed away. As we told you yesterday, about $3 billion in agricultural and structural losses so far because of this. Perhaps as many as 1 million calves killed by the flooding in Nebraska alone. But it might have been worse. And regardless of what might have been done differently and whether the Corps could have known that the Spencer Dam was going to fail, the consensus among experts is that the 6 dams on the upper Missouri River are already being worked beyond their capacity. There's more water in the Missouri River now than there was in the 1930s when these dams were designed. And again, with record snowpack in the Dakotas and in the Rockies, if that snow melts quickly, like during spring rain, things could get worse. Topic number 3. Zuck says, regulate me. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, in a post to his Facebook page and published in the Washington Post, says he wants government regulation of social media. This is after the live streaming of the massacre in Christchurch, New Zealand, where 50 Muslims were killed by a gunman. That video was watched about 4,000 times before Facebook got out and deleted it. and then had to delete it again and again and again as people were copying it and pasting it to other Facebook pages. Zuckerberg says he now believes regulation is needed in four areas across the internet: harmful content, election integrity, letting government oversee what information about elections is allowed, privacy and data portability, what they know about us and our access to the data that they know about us. This, you know, this all sounds good, partnering with government to make sure that social media is protecting our privacy and so forth. But complying with government regulations always comes with a cost. You have to have people who compile the data and the reports and submit, and attorneys, and it makes it expensive for new startups to get into the game. In other words, more government regulation kind of protects Facebook's monopoly as the largest social media site on the internet. Topic number two, biblical ignorance. Actress Alyssa Milano, whose main role these days seems to be starring in kind of a reality show where she shows up everywhere protests against regulating abortion might rear its head. She tweeted out Monday her support for those who choose to kill unborn children by drawing on the Bible and science for support. The problem is she was way out of context, well, frankly, wrong in both cases. Wrong on the Bible, wrong on science. Tweeting on April 1st, which I bless her pointy little head, I don't think she understood the irony of tweeting this out on April Fool's Day. She tweeted, "I love God, I believe in God, but I don't believe my personal beliefs, of which we can't confirm, should override scientific facts and what we can confirm." And then she quoted John 3:12, Jesus speaking, saying, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" It's not clear how that quote has anything to do with whether or not a woman should be allowed to terminate an unborn child. Jesus, in that context, was speaking to the Pharisee Nicodemus about the need to be born again, which is a spiritual thing. Well, as Dr. Michael Brown wrote in his column, which was posted at published by Charisma News and posted at his website, he says, at least Ms. Milano is not denying the existence of God. So that's a step in the right direction. Then he goes on to point out how Scripture actually supports the idea that God loves us and wants us protected even in a mother's womb. In fact, the mother's womb should be the ultimate safe space for children. Sadly, as we've told you on this program, in America, there are some communities, some places, where more than half of the unborn children are terminated before they're born. As for science, Ms. Milano is out of step with scientific consensus, which for the last century has been that life begins at conception. Wrong in the Bible, wrong on science. Again, at least by acknowledging the existence of and her belief in God, the Creator, perhaps if we pray for her real hard, she will be open to correction and getting a better understanding of what God really meant in His Word. Speaking of biblical literacy, President Trump tweeted out Monday his support for classes in half a dozen states that would, classes teaching biblical literacy in public schools in half a dozen states. This came after a segment on Fox and Friends Monday about pending legislation in our home state of Missouri, as well as Florida, Indiana, North Dakota, Virginia, and West Virginia that would allow biblical literacy classes in public schools. Supporters of those classes say the text is being taught as a historical and cultural document. The ACLU objects, saying it's just a way to sneak religion into the classroom. Well, yeah, that's what those classes on Islam are about, right? And Greek mythology is just pagan religion, so, you know, turnabout not fair play here. Coming up, archaeology and biblical history. That's straight ahead on 5 and 10.
And I want to share something. I've asked the Lord in preparation for this book. I said, "Lord, I'm asking you to show me some of the things that have kept believers from embracing their calling." And it was as if He said, "Joe, I want you to share with people, with believers in particular, that they need to stop viewing themselves the way the world has made them view themselves, or how the world views them. This could be at work. Maybe your job has pounded you until you feel like you have less worth. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it was an abusive family member or friend. Maybe it's a vocation, maybe it's a venue. Something in your life has made you feel like you possess less value. But God wants you to start viewing yourself the way that He views you. His perfect creation, designed just the way He did for His reasons, for such a time as this. And your future can be a white canvas filled with possibilities, a totally untold story yet. Everything behind the canvas, this is your past.
Right.
Doesn't matter anymore. But what you begin to paint from here on out, what is ahead of you, totally there for the making if you'll step in to the calling that He's commissioned you to walk in.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Now ask yourself. Ask yourself a question. We know that God is not surprised by anything that we see happening politically, culturally. We know that in the year 2019, God is in complete control, is He not?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And every generation that has come before us and the one that we're facing now, God provides a plan, a redemptive plan for these people. And He always puts surrogates of His gospel on the earth to convey that message of hope to every generation, does He not?
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Right, yes.
So
while
we may feel like the world is falling apart and everything is unraveling, did God not put a plan in place to redeem this generation too?
Absolutely.
Of course.
My question is, what does that plan look like? God's not surprised by any of the stuff that we see. What was His plan? What does it look like? Who are His surrogates? You are that plan. You are the surrogate. You're the one put here right now for such a time as this to do exactly what God has commissioned you to do to reach this generation.
And topic number one, once again, archaeology proves the history in the Bible. A clay seal from the Old Testament period has been dug up from beneath a car park in Jerusalem. An archaeological team from Tel Aviv University digging under a car park in the old city found one of the most significant archaeological items in recent years, an official stamp bearing the name of a senior official in the court of King Josiah of Judah. This dates back to the late 7th century BC, bears the name of an official known as Netan Lemelech, which means servant to the king. It's mentioned in the Bible. Again, this is dated to the reign of King Josiah in the 7th century BC. Josiah was killed in 609 BC when the army of Judah was defeated by the army of Egypt at Megiddo under Pharaoh Necho. This seal is called a bullet, been dated by archaeologists to that time period, either the middle of the 7th century down to the beginning of the 6th century BC. So right place, right time. And under the auspices of the Israel Antiquities Authority, this dig going on 40 feet under a former car park in the city of David, Old City Jerusalem. The seal, the first archaeological evidence of the biblical name Nathan Melech, which you will find in 2 Kings 23, verse 11. Archaeology is cool. At SkyWatch TV, we love to report on things like this, and we'd love to expand our ministry and our reach, the range of programming that we offer through SkyWatch TV. As we're expanding with a new studio in a larger facility, we've got the building already, but we need to put the studio inside it, and we need your help to do it. To find out how you can support SkyWatch TV in our expansion, our growth, log on to skywatchtv.com. That's skywatchtv.com, and follow the link. This Sunday, Sharon and I will be in Joplin, Missouri at Southside Apostolic Faith Church. That's on South Main Street in Joplin. Be there at the 10 a.m. service. I'll start speaking at around 10:45. And then again at 2 p.m., there'll be a lunch served at the church in between. So if you're in southwest Missouri, eastern Kansas, northeast Oklahoma, and you can make it to Joplin, Missouri on Sunday, we'd love to see you there. And you can find more information at my website. Look at derekpgilbert.com. Got a link there with a little map and everything. And hopefully we'll see you in Joplin on Sunday. In the fall, October, New conference to tell you about. It's the Unsealed Scroll Prophecy Conference. Sharon and I honored to be speakers at this conference. It's at the Grand Hyatt in San Antonio the first weekend in October. Other speakers include Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, L.A. Marzulli, Pastor Carl Gallups, Paul McGuire, Bill Salas, Pastor Billy Crone, Jim Barfield of the Copper Scroll Project will be there, and music by John Schlitt, lead singer of Petra back in the day. This is going to be a great, great gathering, October 4th through 6th at the Grand Hyatt in San Antonio, and use the promo code Gilbert20. Gilbert20 gets you 20% off. For more information, log on to unsealedscroll.org, unsealedscroll.org. SkyWatch TV broadcasting on new networks this week. This week we begin a new series on two important new books, Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox by Allie Anderson and Everyday Champions by Joe Horn. How do we reach a generation that many in the church believe are unreachable? And how do we understand our spiritual gifts? How do we recognize them, things that we don't even consider to be spiritual gifts? That's the program this week on SkyWatch TV Coast to Coast. You'll find us on the Word Network on Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Central Time. That's DirecTV Channel 373, also on cable networks all around the country. The Total Living Network in the Chicagoland area and Central Illinois. That's at Xfinity Channel 138, Xfinity 138. Tonight, Wednesday night, 11:30 p.m. Central Time, and Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. And in New Mexico and Southern Colorado, we're now on KAZQ TV 32. That's digital channel 32.1 in Albuquerque, and DirecTV and Dish Network around the state of New Mexico, channel 32 on both of those satellite networks. We'll be there on Sunday mornings at 9 and Wednesday nights, well, tonight, 9 p.m. So watch that program tonight. But of course, you can watch us anytime, day or night, if you've got a set-top box like Roku or Apple TV. Just add the SkyWatch TV channel. It is free, and then we can broadcast anytime, day or night. Or download our free mobile app. The mobile app not only gets you all of our video and audio content, the SkyWatch TV podcast, but news that the mainstream media overlooks, plus our calendar of upcoming events. All of that in a handy mobile app for your smartphone or tablet, Apple, Android, or whatever. We got links to all the app stores at SkyWatchTV.com. My website, DerekPGilbert.com, where you'll find a link to the weekly Bible study Sharon and I produce and my weekly podcast called A View from the Bunker. Again, that's at DerekPGilbert.com. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.